This morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Acts, the 11th chapter, 19 through 30. And if you haven't got your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. So you don't have to have them, but I like to have mine with me, but that's just me. But I'll give you just a minute. This morning, we're going to be talking about God and how the Gospels encourages us. How God's Word encourages you. Does it encourage you? It does me. It gives me strength every week as you hear the Word on Sunday morning or Wednesday or Monday or whenever it is you hear the Word. It gives you encouragement to go out and to tell others about the love that Jesus has for you. It gives us a boost of confidence and a boost of energy. Or it does me. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. How God's gospel encourages us. So we know that in Acts 11 chapter 19, it tells us that meanwhile the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to the Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. And when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of God's blessings, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch, and both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. And at that time, folks, they were called Christians. They started out being called Christ ones. Christ ones. And so then it went from Christ ones to Christians. And it was during this time some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that the great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This is fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we see these encouraging words this morning, and we look back toward the 19th chapter, we know that Stephen's death, Saul was there, which later becomes Paul. We know Saul was there. He was there looking on when Stephen was stoned to death. And so, to kind of bring us up to where we're at now, we know that Saul was at a lot of the killings of the Christians. And so people were scared to death of Saul. They didn't want him anywhere in their group. They didn't want him anywhere around them after he was converted to Christianity. They said, he's the one that has killed Stephen. He's the one that killed all of our people before us. And we don't trust him. We're not going to trust him at all. And so Paul has not yet become Paul. He's still Saul. And so it had caused such a uproar in the church there around Jerusalem that he left and he went to Tarsus. Now, that would be kind of like saying we were at, I don't know, you could say we're in Pittsburgh and we're going up the East Coast and we're going around and come around into Canada and come back down to the top of the lake up there, you know. Be about that same distance, something like that. So he has gone back up to his hometown. And he has stayed there for quite some time because the people would have nothing to do with him. So that's kind of what has brought us to where we're at this morning. So then we know that these people that come to know the Lord, come to be the people that came to be the followers of Christ, they were mostly Jews. They were just hearing the word because that was the only people that was really getting preached to was the Jews. Jews, you know, they didn't really associate with the Gentiles. They didn't really associate with the people that weren't in their own little clique, in their own little deal. And so the people weren't hearing the word. And so the followers that had followed, began to follow Christ after the killing of Stephen. They were scared to death. They were scared to hang out. They were scared to be in the company of any of these people. So they went to scattering. They went to moving. And they moved all up, like we would say, the East Coast. They moved all around the Mediterranean Sea. And so as they did, they began to preach the word. They began to tell everybody about Jesus. They began to spread that word. Now, you stop right there and think about it, folks. So you come to church on Sunday morning, and you go back out into the world, and as you go back out into the world on Monday and Tuesday, or Thursday and Friday, that's even better because by then we've kind of dismissed everything about Sunday. Do you tell others? Are you encouraged to tell others about Jesus? Or do you just be quiet? I don't know them people. I don't want to fool with them people. And so I'm just going to be quiet. And we do. We do not talk about Jesus Christ as we should to everyone. Now, this is what was beginning to happen. The people, some of the people, went back up to around the Mediterranean Sea to the different cities, Antioch, up in that area, and they began to preach, some to the Jews and some to the Gentiles. So we are seeing that the believers that went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. And the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. This is the first time, folks, this is the first time in the gospel that you're seeing the Gentiles being preached to as a group of people. They were always preaching to the Jews or to a mixed crowd of people. And this is the first time that we're seeing the word being spread to the Gentiles. As soon as the Gentiles heard the word, they were like, wow, this is great. This is the best news I've heard in a long time. And they begin to believe, and they begin to want to know more, and they begin to push to know more. And they begin to have they begin to have church. And folks, this is more or less, if you stop and realize, this is more or less where we are. We're 5 years in. We all come from different denominations. We have nobody here that's from just one denomination. We all come from different denominations. These people had nothing in common. They didn't speak the same language. They weren't from the same culture. They didn't have anything in common. They were all different. And so we here at Grace Life Church, I bet if you took 5 minutes and asked everybody around you, where'd you come from, be a whole bunch of different people. I know because I'm looking, and I know where people came from. So we are a group of folks that have come together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're a group of folks that came together to hear the word of God. We come together to hear the gospel taught and preached. We come together to love each other. We come together as a church family. And as the video said, together, this is where we've pushed all the time we've been here for 5 years. We want everyone to feel like they're connected. Connect. You can't connect with everybody, but I want you to feel like you're connected to a few different people. I want you to feel like you can pick up the phone and call. And if I'm not able to do something, I can call, and then I can send someone to make that connection for me. Well, me and Brian can't do it all sometimes. Sometimes we're caught somewhere that it just doesn't happen that way. But if I pick up the phone and call you, and I ask you to do some of the Lord's work for me, I really expect an affirmative answer. I'm expecting you to say, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, because you love Jesus Christ. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for anybody except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we love Him. Because we're one. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It's because we're human beings. We're all made alike. And so Barnabas, as he was sent from the church of Jerusalem to go up to Antioch to find out what's going on with all these people. I hear that they're really having church up there. They're just really on fire for the Lord. And when Barnabas gets there, he says, Lord, I'm just so excited to see these people. They're all in about the Lord. They're just really and eagerly having church. They're really and eagerly serving God and praising God. And it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about them. And so he was just astonished at what he'd found out. Well, folks, that's what we should be. When we see people in church that is excited about Jesus Christ on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning, or Friday morning, when we see these people that's excited about Jesus Christ, we need to be excited. We need to help them and encourage them, and we need to teach them. Now, it says that Paul, they came back down. Barnabas and Paul came back down to Antioch, and they stayed there a whole year. A whole year. Well, folks, what happens is we, as Christians, we become new Christians. And as we become new Christians, if you're new in something, if you're new at a job, somebody's got to tell you what's going on, because you don't know. You don't have a clue. When Eddie got that job he got, they sent him to school because he didn't know nothing, you know. I can pick on Eddie a little bit. But they sent him to school. Well, he had to. He had to learn some stuff that was very important. It wasn't a trial and error type deal. His job requires him knowing everything he needs to know at just the spur of the moment. Well, these people, they were learning about God, and this is where we're at as new Christians. We learn about God, and when we learn about God, what do? We come to learn and study, and we end up joining the church. Maybe not this church, maybe another church. We end up joining a church, and so many times, folks, us, the people sitting right here this morning, we drop the ball because we do not take them people in under our arms, and we do not teach them and love them and bring them on to Christ as we should. We think, well, they're good to go. No, they're not good to go because they know nothing. They have to be taught. And this is what Barnabas and Paul done. They stayed with them a year, teaching them and teaching them how to love on others that come to know Jesus Christ. I look back on my walk with the Lord, and when I was young and started Sunday school, they would teach you and they would love on you at church. But other than that, nobody really loved on you a whole lot throughout the week. Nobody really told you a whole lot throughout the week unless you made an effort to go to somebody and ask them if they'd sit down with you and talk about it. And so sometimes you end up like I was, discouraged about things, and you begin to turn away from the Lord in different ways, not as close a relationship as that you once had. So these folks were trying their best. Barnabas and Paul was trying their best, which was still Saul right now, was trying their best to teach these people how to be Christians, Christ ones. That's what they were doing. So you got to think about where we're at again. So here they are, they're teaching and preaching, and here comes a prophet. Agabus, I guess, maybe is how that's said. And he tells them, hey, look here, folks. This is what's fixing to happen. We're going to have a drought. And this drought is going to be bad. And it was. It lasted somewhere between 10 and 15 years. And so from about 40 A.D. to somewhere toward A.D. 55. So it was somewhere in that range of 10 to 15 year drought. Can you imagine a drought of 10 or 15 years? I remember in 07, folks, we had two springs and two falls. And in between all of that happening, we had a drought. And the ground cracked open. It literally cracked open. And you could take my pocket knife, I wouldn't turn it loose because I knew it would fall, and stick it in the ground, and it would go down to where I couldn't see it, and I would not turn it loose because it would have dropped right on down in the ground. I would have to go get a shovel and dig it out. The ground cracked open. Everything dried up. But the first spring we had was early that year. It was early March. Everything bloomed out. Everything came full circle real quick. Beautiful. Early spring, woo, I was so excited. In May, we had 5 days of 20-degree weather of a morning. All the leaves fell off, just like fall of the year. The leaves were done out. They all fell off. Spring and fall had came all at once. I thought, will the trees replenish their leaves? I never seen this happen before. What will happen? Will we have a summer of trees with no leaves? What's going to take place? Yes, they come back, but not thick. They were very skimpy all that year. And then we know that as that year went on, we had it warmed back up in June. We had another spring. Everything came back. Everything bloomed again. So we've had two springs that year. And then we had another fall that fall. So I wrote it in my Bible, one of the ones that lays there above my chair. Wrote it in my Bible, no seven kids, for the kids like this right here. We had two springs and two falls, and in between we had a drought. And I thought the drought that year was the worst thing that could ever have happened. But I was making my living off of rain, and it was no rain. And there was no living to be made for me. I can't imagine 10 or 15 years of a drought. That would be almost unheard of. So we see that the drought came. And the people down towards the Jerusalem church begin to suffer, folks. The people down in Judea, they begin to suffer. So the people that was up north in the Antioch church, where Barnabas had went up to Antioch to start these churches and help get the churches going. And they were doing so well, they weren't in a drought up there. And they were doing so well that they decided to send help back to the Jerusalem church. Now, they were called kind of like sister churches, because the sister church, it was Jerusalem was the main church, and Antioch would have been the sister church. And Antioch, being the youngest church and doing the best at that given time, says, hey, folks, we need to help. We need to help the people at Jerusalem. We need to give everything we can that we don't have to have to the people at Jerusalem. And what they do? They begin to get up an offering, a good offering. And they give it to Barnabas and Paul to take back to the people at Jerusalem. If you look at 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, you'll find Paul talking about the giving and how we should give generously, how we should give without holding back, because a generous giver is what God is all about. You see, as we poured the water this morning and we talked about how Jesus said, if you'll accept what I got, if you'll take what I've got, I'm going to give you something that's called living water. I'm going to give you something that will make you not thirst again. God is a giving God. He gave His Son, Jesus, that we all can have eternal life if we accept that. We have to accept it. We have to be willing to say, okay, I believe that in my whole heart that Jesus died for my sins. I believe in my whole heart that He is God's Son. I believe in my whole heart that He came and lived with us and He taught us and the Gospels that we have. I believe Jesus Christ is who He says He is. And that's what the people were doing at Antioch. They believed from the day they heard, they believed. And as they believed, they went forth working and doing the work of the Lord. And that meant taking care of the main church at Jerusalem. And that's what they done. And I'm sure they didn't only send one offering. I'm sure they sent offerings at different times to help the people in that area. Folks, this is what Christians do. This is what Christianity is. If you love Lord your God, if you love Jesus Christ, you're not going to say, well, Eddie needs, he needs $100, but I swear I ain't going to give it to him. Well, he probably didn't. He could be looking at me saying, you need one, I'm not going to give it to you either. You know, so that could be a deal. And folks, today, I see more people today that are so hung up on a piece of money, whether it be a dollar or $1,000. They are so hung up on keeping that money with them. They can do a lot more than we can do as a church. So they continue to hold tight to everything they have. I see it constantly. But I also see people that turn loose of their money. And we saw that Friday, didn't we? Pete, Tammy, we saw that Friday when we were in need of money at Olive Branch Cemetery. And people turned out and turned loose very generously of the money so that they could help keep the cemetery from growing up. That's the love of God in you. When you turn your money over to someone else to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. Folks, today, I know that we as Christians today, we have lots. We are, even if you don't have but $10, you are probably one of the wealthiest people in the whole free world. You've got a church family that loves you. You have maybe a family. Some people don't. But if you don't, you have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ loves you so much. He is everything. He is God the Father. He's your Father. And Jesus, His Son, loves you enough that He died upon this cross, that your sin debt could be paid. How much love could we ask anyone to show us besides that? But when you are here at Grace Life Church, you have a family. We are all a family, folks. And we come and we share our love and we share our talents with everyone. Anyone in need, I guarantee you, if there's one here this morning that's in need, I guarantee you somebody is here to help you. I know that because we love each other. So, folks, I want you to stop and to think about how this little story ends. It ends with these people learning about Jesus, them starting a church, just as we did. them loving each other and loving everybody around them, them sharing with everyone the word, so encouraged about hearing about God's love for them and Jesus' love for them that he died upon this cross. They were so excited. If anywhere in here you don't fit, you need to stop and think about this. Because if you're not excited about Jesus, if you're not excited about him being your Lord and Savior, you need to stop and think about, what am I doing here this morning? Because I can help you. I can give you a dollar or two. I can take you somewhere. I can do some things for you, but I cannot do what Jesus Christ done for you. He died that you can have eternal life. He paid your sin debt on that cross. And so they were excited that all of this had taken place. Today, folks, in the church, we sometimes are excited. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're continuing to gripe about things that is happening around us. Sometimes we're happy. But it is an opportunity for us to hear this word, hear the word that Barnabas heard of how people were treating others and how they were teaching others. And he wanted to be such a part of it. He goes and gets Paul, brings him back, and they stay a year just to meet the needs of the church. Nothing about them. Nothing about them. But just for the church is what they done. I understand we all have a living we have to make. We all have a certain amount of money that we'd like to have. We all have things that the world goes around, and we're caught in the middle of it. And we got to have the things that we need to be able to bring it full circle. But the thing is, folks, when you love the Lord, when you love your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you give not grudgingly, but you give with an open heart, God will bless you in such a way that there's no way for me to tell you how that really works. I don't understand how it works, but I do know that when you help others, God helps you. So that's what happened in the story here today. The people helped the people at Jerusalem, and the church continued to grow. And it's continued to grow even today. And it's through these people right here is where it started. It's through their work that it all came to be. And it's through their work that we have the opportunity to hear the word that we hear today. Folks, I hope today that if you are a seasoned, what I call a seasoned Christian, just like you got a seasoned skillet, and it cooks a whole lot better than a new one, and you got an old seasoned skillet you wouldn't take nothing for, and you take all care in the world of that thing. If you are a seasoned Christian, help your neighbor become the seasoned Christian that you are. Don't just turn them out on their own. They can't do it. They're not there yet. They're like a baby. They're still on the milk. Bring them up to where they eat the solid food. Bring them up to where they desire to hear the word of God. And teach them this word. Teach them the word that they will be able to go forth into the world and teach others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.